I'm Karen Hart Glass. It's time for another episode of It's All About Food. And we're celebrating today because it's time for the Bosch team. Ian Thiesby and Henry Firth. Awesome fellows. Say hello, Ian and Henry.
Hello.
How are you?
It's so good to
see you. Thank you for having us more.
I'm just very excited and all boshed out, whatever that means. But I remember meeting you a couple of years ago when you were in New York. It was really one of my most fun interviews, and I've been interviewing for about 12 years. But you guys are super special, and that's why your cookbooks and Bosch TV are doing so well. How's your book tour going?
I mean, yeah, it's definitely different to our previous book tours, right?
Yeah.
So our new book's called Speedy Bosch, and historically, we've been traveling all over the place, promoting books, going to New York, meeting lovely people like yourself, heading to bookshops in America. We went to LA previously, and then obviously throughout London and Europe too. But this year, we're just looking at lovely people's faces on screens instead.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, like, the extent of our book tour has been the sort of stuff that we've been doing on social media, on our own channels, on our publishers' channels as well. And we have also done some live cook-alongs with people who have won competitions here in the UK. So that's been about the extent of it, to be honest with you. But, you know, needs must. It's funny old time for touring around. So fingers crossed we'll be able to get back to normal in 2021.
I hope we can get back to something. It's never going to be the same, I don't think. And I hope we learn a lot from what we've been through. And I know I have, and I think some really good things have come out of it. And you talked about doing some cook-alongs. We just did one a few weeks ago with some families online. And talking about Speedy Bosch, and we'll get to that in a minute, making meals quickly. We made this big feast in about 3 hours and 15 minutes in a cook-along, and then we all sat down to eat it. I think that was really speedy for what we did.
What did you make in that three hours?
In 3 hours, okay, we made a pumpkin seed encrusted tofu steak, mushroom gravy, mashed potatoes, broccoli rabe with pecans, and poached pears with raspberry coulis, and a kale salad.
Good as me, that is very good effort.
Yep, that's a full spread. Yeah, well done.
And we all had leftovers, which was really a wonderful thing. Now, I also want to say, before we get into the book, well, I'm going to get into the book right now, but I just want to show you, and for those on audio, you can't see this, but maybe I'll include a picture later. I don't know if you know what this is.
Yep, that's our red velvet sorbet, isn't it?
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Coincidentally, we posted an Instagram reel video of that today.
I didn't know that.
It maybe dropped around about half an hour ago, if that.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, I made it, and I'm just going to take a little photograph of it with you guys on the screen here. Hello. Wait, let's do that again. One more. Okay. And I'm going to enjoy it while we're sitting here.
Good.
Oh, what a good idea.
Yeah,
we
should have made something ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, that is such a delicious recipe. You know, it's obviously inspired by a nice cream where you would kind of blend up frozen bananas or frozen berries to make a kind of healthy ice cream. But this one, we've got those red velvet flavors. You've got chocolate running through it. You've got that kind of chocolate and berry pairing, which is so classic in a red velvet cake. And it is so delicious and so healthy.
Mm-hmm. It's like a proper adult dessert.
So it has beet juice in it.
It's a grown-up taste, isn't it? It's a really grown-up flavor.
It is a grown-up flavor. And I like that it doesn't have bananas in it. Because I make a lot of these things with bananas. And, you know, sometimes it's enough already with the bananas.
Yeah, definitely.
I juiced the beets a few days ago, and I froze them in little 2 tablespoon ice cube trays.
Nice.
So, because I knew I was going to have you guys, and I wanted to make this for this morning.
Well,
so it's delicious. Now, I cheated. I apologize. I always modify recipes. Okay, that's my thing. Instead of grating chocolate on top, I put cacao nibs.
Oh, that would work. Lovely texture, nice flavor as well with those.
I don't have that big a sweet tooth, so I'm going more for the bitter and less for the sweet. But it's very nice.
Amazing. Well, I'm glad you like it.
Good.
I do. All right. So let's start at the beginning of your book, The Welcome. And you talk about the pandemic. I don't know how long ago you started working on this book, but you probably put that page together towards the end.
Yeah.
And what's important about any cookbook, but this cookbook especially, I think, for the pandemic, not just making things quickly, but more people are at home making meals. I especially like the takeout section because some people are still using takeout. And some of us are not. We just get our food delivered. We have not been to a restaurant. We have not ordered from a restaurant, but we crave certain flavors that normally we get when we go out. So it's very nice that you have some recipes that we could make and pretend that we're getting takeout.
Yeah, you just need to like buy the proper packaging, like you know, sort of some greaseproof paper to wrap the burger up in, so it feels a bit more legit.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, so the first question I have is the contents. How did you come up with this order? Because you start with hearty and you end with breakfast, and most cookbooks don't end with breakfast.
Good point. I mean, do you know what? This is something that we've done in every single one of our books. We put breakfast at the back. Mm-hmm. And I know that seems a little bit backwards, but I think that whilst breakfast is a really important meal of the day, and it's one that we relish and we love, there's only so much you can do with breakfast.
Yeah.
And it isn't, I don't think, what you normally buy a cookbook for.
I would agree.
So, and people tend to have, they tend to have consistent habits with their breakfast. So they might be, you know, ritualistic about having granola and yogurt, or maybe they, you know, they go for toast. Maybe they make porridge oats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I feel like people will tend to be okay with having the same breakfast on multiple different days. So for us, I kind of feel like the order we went for is exactly the perfect order if you put breakfast at the front. So, you know, if you went breakfast, then hearty meals, then takeaways, then sharing meals, then lighter, then sweet, then drinks, that would kind of make sense.
Yeah.
But we just pulled out breakfast, we put it at the back because we wanted to get to the good stuff first.
Very good. Just curious. I don't think there's any official order, and cookbooks have been really getting away from whatever traditions there used to be. And that's as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you talk about meals in 30 minutes. And you say that that's all inclusive. Explain how you do that.
Well, it's all inclusive minus the taking the ingredients out of the cupboards. So once you have all of the ingredients out of the cupboards, and then you start prepping, that's when you can get it done in 30 minutes. Admittedly said, you've got to bring everything out, it'll take a little bit longer. But the reason why these recipes take less time than the other books that we've written is because we've included some speedy hacks. Like we've, in previous books, we haven't used microwaves very often, but in this book, we've decided to use microwaves more often. Then in this book, we've decided to, like, to save on chopping time, use a food processor to sort of blip things up. So yeah, there's just, and there's like little hacks and stuff, like rather than soaking cashews for an awfully long time, you can boil the cashews in the plant-based milk that you're about to make your bechamel sauce with. So it's like you're just thinking creatively about ways to sort of cut corners and save a bit of time here, there and everywhere.
Also, the recipes were initially designed to be under 20 minutes.
Oh my goodness. So
the working title of the book was Bosch in 20.
Yeah.
So when we decided to give ourselves a little bit more leeway and make it 30 minutes or less, a lot of them will be a lot less than 30 minutes. But you do, you know, you do have to work quick in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So if you're dawdling around, looking at your phone, taking Instagram photos, or half unloading the dishwasher at the same time, then it is obviously going to take you longer. But as long as you've got your food out, not cut, not prepped, it can still be in the wrapping.
Yeah.
If you've got your food out and your kitchen is relatively organized, you should be able to do everything in here in 30 minutes. And the couple that are longer than that, right? So for example, we do a Thanksgiving spread in 30 minutes. Now, you're going to have to work pretty fast to get that one done in 30 minutes. You might not get it done in 30 minutes the first time, but you will the second time.
Yeah. And also, to be fair, it's a damn sight quicker than a regular Thanksgiving spread.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's still a speedy recipe.
Well, what I liked about that Thanksgiving spread, and I'm glad you brought it up because it was on my list of things to talk about, you talk about what to do in steps differently than in other recipes because you're multitasking. You're doing an order that really saves time. And yeah. I think, like you said, maybe the first time it won't be as fast, but when you get familiar with making recipes, you can do different things at the same time, and that really speeds things up. And I think that's important in a cookbook to help people process, oh, I can do this at the same time while I'm doing that.
Absolutely. You know, the first time I saw someone doing that, I think it was Jamie Oliver in his 30-minute meals book. Mm-hmm. And it was just a revelation to see that, oh, okay, you, rather than, you know, let's say on one page I've got the recipe for roast potatoes and then on a completely separate page somewhere else I've got my nut roast recipe and I have to flick between them and work out the best path through them. We've combined the recipes together and shown you how we would cook it. The most efficient way to get through those steps, jumping from one to the next, and while something is in the oven, for example, you can then get on with prepping the next thing, because that's how people should cook.
Yeah,
when they're fast and experienced.
Yeah, definitely, and that way nothing gets cold. You make your roast potatoes or your sweet potato pie or whatever it may be, and you've made that, and then crack on with the next thing. By the time you made the second or third thing, the first thing is going to be really cold, so you need to work like that.
Absolutely.
And it's helpful to let them know what things to start first, because it may not be obvious. When I'm preparing a meal, a lot of times I start with the dessert and fix that, put that aside, and then get started on a bunch of other things. And then while something's baking, you're prepping your salad or whatever else. And that may not be intuitive for people that are just starting.
Yeah, that's very true, because I suppose if you really want to sort of spend, if you want a really nice dessert, it probably is going to take a little bit of time. And after you've just eaten a massive meal, if you hadn't made the effort before you cooked the massive meal, you probably would think, oh, I can't be bothered to make the dessert. So if you if you forward plan the dessert and get all the ingredients in, it makes a really good point. Like, it's a really good idea to make it first, yeah. And also that way, you know, just know that that's that smell wafting in from the kitchen as you're like, nibbling down on your broccoli and your kale or whatever it may be, you're like, oh, something to look forward to. This is good.
Okay, my favorite cooking hack is using the herb stems. Now, you may say herb.
Yes, herb. We do.
Herb. All the stems are important.
Yes,
what I like about using herb stems is not wasting. I don't waste my kale stems, my collard stems, my broccoli stems. All stems are equal and deserving of being consumed in one way or another. No waste. But talk about using herb stems.
Herb stems. I mean, like, so for instance, so when you've got, say if you're making a pesto, like in previous books, we've kind of maybe recommended that you don't pop your basil stems in with pesto, because we kind of thought that it might carry a little bit of a sort of bitter taste. But in actual fact, after testing that theory again, with the mindset of not wanting to waste any ingredients and to sort of just bung them in without picking the leaves off, yes, they are ever so slightly bitter. Like, but do you know what? It's barely unnoticeable. So therefore, you just kind of just pop it all in there, whiz them all up into a wonderful basil pesto, and add a little bit more salt, whatever, and then you're in a place where the bitterness of the stem just doesn't shine through at all. So yeah.
And I guess the one stem that you might not want to use is rosemary.
Yeah,
if you get a giant, if you've got wood and you're chewing on wood, that can be a problem. So I think something like thyme, which can sometimes be a little bit woody, you just want to make sure you chop that super fine. Mm-hmm. We're totally with you on the low waste. And in fact, you know, one of my favorite low waste ingredients is just the leaves of a cauliflower.
Yeah.
So people will typically throw away those cauliflower leaves, but if you pop them in the oven with a little bit of oil, a touch of salt, and maybe some garam masala spice mix, it's absolutely delicious.
Yes. The stuff that I really don't know what to do with, I just put it in the juicer when I'm making a vegetable juice.
Yeah.
Fish bash bosh.
Exactly.
Another great tip there is, of course, you can make a stock. So if you find you've got a load of stuff that is in your fridge and it's getting old and maybe it's going to go past its sell-by date, you can just pop that into a giant pan of water, simmer it for a couple of hours, get all of that flavor out, and you've got a ready-made veg stock to make a soup with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's just hit on a few recipes. I love the rainbow falafel idea. Love that. And yeah. One day when we get back to socializing and having parties, that will definitely be a wonderful party plate of different color falafels. Beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, what a recipe.
Yeah. It took us quite a long time to actually nail that recipe down, because initially we were sort of approaching the recipe from four different angles, which obviously in retrospect is not the speediest way to go about it. So what we did was sort of like get a really good base and then add to it to get those different flavors, get those different colors. And I must say that the base recipe that we nailed it feels really traditional. Yeah. It's got a really fantastic spice profile, and it's got a fantastic bite. And occasionally it's okay to fry things. And I think falafel is something that really is a lot better when you just whack it in the fryer.
Well, it's authentic.
Exactly.
It's authentic to deep fry it, really. I mean, you can bake it, of course, because it's healthier. But that isn't how you would eat it in the Middle East. It's definitely a fried dish.
Yeah.
The other thing about that recipe is it just looks so beautiful when you do make all four. Beautiful dish.
Yeah, it's well worth it.
Definitely. Another recipe that I liked was the homage to the United States and our creamy lime pies and lemon pies.
Yeah, that one, we've been lucky enough to be over in the States, as you well know. And we went to a restaurant over in Los Angeles. What was that restaurant called?
It was called Little Pine.
That's right.
It's Moby's restaurant.
Yeah, that's right. That restaurant was serving one, and we were like, oh my goodness, this is utterly unbelievable. So we thought, as you say, an homage to our time in the States, we would try our bestest, our damnedest, to try and make one that did that pie justice. And it was a hard slog. It took a while to develop that one, but when we got it, we were like, yes, this is great. And the people that have made it and who have sent us pictures on social media have been really singing its praises, so that's good.
Because that's the challenge with a pie like that, right? You it's doing it in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not just can you make a delicious creamy lime pie, but it's how it on earth do you get that done in under 30 minutes?
And also, if you think about it as well, that pie, you couldn't probably have made that 2 or 3 years ago, because the squirty cream in a can wouldn't have been as readily available as it is now.
Yeah.
Right. So this is definitely a cookbook for the 21st century. We couldn't go back in time and make a lot of these things because, well, early 20th century, we didn't have a microwave. And we didn't have all of these ready-made products that you take advantage of in this book that make things speedy.
And one of the things that we've done with this book is actually looked into the future, because there's a sandwich in there called the Thesby's Tempeh Toasty. And tempeh at the moment is like, you can get it, but it's not everywhere. But we had a sneaking suspicion that tempeh will be everywhere before long. So we kind of just put that in there in the hope that in 6 months' time, it will be like, you'll be able to make it easily.
That's interesting because, well, as I mentioned before, we're getting all of our food delivered, and organic tempeh has been tricky. You get it? Sometimes they have it, sometimes they don't. I am really tempted to get a tempeh maker. And I talked to Seth Tibbett of Tofurky a few months ago, and he's like the tempeh expert, and he recommended a bunch of different kinds to get, which I haven't gotten yet. But so either it's going to be everywhere or I have to make it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's such a good idea. Do you know, we need to try that out. It isn't that difficult. You get the beans and you get the, can I remember the name of the...
You have to get the culture.
Fungus. Oligosporus.
Oligosporus
or something like that.
Yes.
I think it's relatively straightforward to do. But you just have to be careful because you can, because you basically, you're culturing things.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes wrong, you can probably make yourself ill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it would be a really nice thing to do at home, a good project.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll send you his instructions that he sent me, Seth Tibbett of Tofurky.
Well done. Yeah, great stuff. Seth's done a magnificent job over the past few years of just putting plant-based food at the forefront of people's minds. It's amazing.
Yes. Well, he's what we call an overnight sensation, which isn't overnight. He put in decades of work.
It's decades, isn't it? I read an article about
yes,
him.
Decades.
Ages, yeah.
Yes, and he started with tempeh before he made the amazing tofurky.
Ah,
yeah, his book is a really great story. You should read it.
Okay,
we will.
That's your assignment. Okay. So you talk about having some, that the recipes here are made from readily made ingredients. And for the most part, they definitely are. There were a few that caught my eye that maybe here in the United States we're not as familiar with. So I just wanted to bring them up. One of them is Biscoff cookie butter, which I've never used. Maybe other people have. But can you talk about it?
Absolutely. So Ian is going to get some right now to show you in the camera. And by the way, we are not paid to say this, but we love this stuff. So there are these cute little biscuits. Can you see that biscuit there on the side?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They sell them in Europe with a cappuccino, and they're a wonderful kind of almond-flavored, caramel-tasting, beautiful biscuit. And this paste is essentially those biscuits blended up with probably more sugar added. Imagine a kind of nutty, caramelly Nutella spread.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the flavor that you're getting and the texture that you're getting. And it is literally incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing stuff. This delicious.
Yeah, sounds like...
If you're vegan in the UK, this is in your cupboard, guaranteed.
Sounds mm-hmm. like crack.
It's so good.
Yeah. It features quite heavily in the Spectacular's cupcakes recipe, right?
Yeah.
Is that
absolutely? Yeah. We've got quite a few. Yeah. There's quite a few recipes with it. Yeah. It's
okay.
A really good way to get a caramelly flavor into a dish really quickly.
I've heard of Marmite, also Vegemite. I've never tried it. I'm sure I could get it. I live in New York. And maybe it's time that I found some.
I think the tagline of the brand has been you either love it or hate it. And the thing is, it's kind of similar to coriander. So you know how cilantro. So you know how cilantro is, some people just don't like it at all.
Sure.
Like because the thing genetically that just makes
I think they worse. Have a it's in their DNA that they can't that there's something that doesn't work
yeah.
for them.
I think the same is true of Marmite, because like you either absolutely love it or people are like, this is the worst thing ever. It's got a really weird sort of gooey brown color and weird texture and consistency, but I personally love it.
It's amazing. Yeah. You need to, I can't believe you've never tried it. We need to send you some.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Okay.
Okay. The next thing is rendang. You have a couple of recipes for rendang, vegan rendang. Tell us about what that is.
Absolutely. So the rendang curry is a kind of Southeast Asian curry. And it's actually, I think it might be the most popular dish in Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least it's definitely going to be top five. Typically, it would be made with beef. Obviously, we don't eat beef. So we have made ours with jackfruit. But essentially, what the rendang is you've got this incredibly rich tasting curry, but the gravy is so thick it's almost like it's not a curry at all. The paste just sticks to the beef, or in this instance it's jackfruit. You've got incredible spices running through there, and obviously we use jackfruit, which is a wonderful alternative to using meat. So delicious, so easy. I would say that's one of my favorite recipes in the book.
Yeah, it's a good enough.
Okay. I wonder how tempeh would work with it, because tempeh is from Indonesia too.
That's a great idea. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it would definitely work.
It would be a huge win.
Just a few more things. Peanut iced coffee.
Oh yes.
Peanut iced coffee. I've never had it. Anything with peanut, I go nuts over. And
oh yeah, Pure Ice coffee, really good. I mean, because that's the sort of thing that you'd expect to be able to buy in a coffee house. And obviously, as a coffee house right now, you can't go in there. Mm. So it's good that we have the recipe in the book, so people can just make a really nice posh coffee at home.
Yeah, and it's kind of inspired by a drink that's quite common in Vietnam. So it's really common to drink that out there. And it's honestly, it's incredible. Mm. I mean, the name says it all. Yeah, iced coffee. It's wonderful.
Exactly. So delicious.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's not the kind of thing you would necessarily want to have first thing in the morning.
No.
like a hot peanut butter coffee? Maybe not.
There's a lot of flavor. There's a lot of flavor in there. But yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, it's so good.
I will definitely try that too. And then the last thing I wanted to bring up, I'll toast you to this one, but I don't have one here, is the Deep South Dirty Martini. I'm not a big drinker, but I do like a good martini, especially a dirty one.
Well, that one is pretty dirty. I'm not going to lie to you. It packs a real punch in terms of the flavor. If you're into big flavors, then you're going to love that glass.
Yeah, and I guess it's kind of like the reason we call it Deep South is we've gone for that kind of pickle vibe, right? That kind of there are people who will literally drink pickle brine from the jar. I went to Miami a few years ago for a party, and there was a group of people who were just obsessed with pickle.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm still on the Facebook group and I still see them all talking about how they love pickle juice. Mm. And you know, pickle chicken poppers and things like that.
Yeah.
You see, we don't eat the chicken. But so it's like, yeah, it's the most dirty, dirty martini you could ever imagine. And if you like pickles and spicy pickles, this is the one for you.
Yeah. And if you like a good time, there's a lot of vodka in it.
I think that'll be my New Year's Eve drink.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Yes. We'll be having a really big party right here at home with nobody.
Just like us. We'll be doing the same.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, I think that pretty much wraps it up. I'm looking at the three cookbooks I have of yours. One of them is the first one, has a nice bright green color. The next one came with orange. And this one has the bright pink.
Yes.
Who chooses? Well,
We kind of choose the colours because we want them to sort of jump out of the shelf. They don't just want to like sort of blend in with all the rest of the books on the shelf. We want you to keep going back to it again and again. And the best way to do that is to catch your eye with really bright colours.
What's the next colour?
They do pop off the shelf. Look, we can see them on the shelf just behind you, which is a beautiful thing.
That's right. They do pop out.
What do you think the next colour should be?
Yellow.
Yellow.
Yeah, there we go.
Yellow and black. Yellow and black is a big marketing win.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well.
Maybe it will be.
Yeah, but watch this space. Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking at all my cookbooks, and I don't see any bright yellow binders.
The Ottolenghi did yellow.
Yeah,
with flavor. Simple.
Oh, they're in a simple.
Simple, yeah. His recent one. That was really popular. I think yellow is a big moment right now for cookbooks. But only as of like this year.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be like more yellow cookbooks coming out this year.
We might have to add to that brood.
Yeah.
Well, you might have heard it here first. Like, watch this space. And just for your information, we are working on another book as we speak.
Oh, and can we get a clue about what it's about, or that's top secret?
It's very topical. So, we've all been on lockdown. The whole world has been through this mad phase where they're adjusting. So we wanted to create a book that suited the new world that we exist in. So hopefully this will do that. A cryptic answer, but hopefully that gives you some idea.
Excellent. Well, Ian Thiesby and Henry Firth, founders and geniuses of Bosch, thank you for joining me on It's All About Food and sharing your moment here with me. I wish I could give you some hugs, but I can't.
Yeah, we'd love to hug you too. It's been a while, and hopefully next time we have a chat, we'll be able to hug at the end of it.
Yes, and maybe share a bite. I'm going to finish my red velvet sorbet.
Good work, man.
Lovely.
And let you go.
Thank you very, very much for the chat.
Thank you, and all the best with Speedy Bosch.
All the best. Thank you very much. Good to speak to you.
Bye. Bye.
That was Ian Thiesby and Henry Firth with their newest cookbook, Speedy Bosch. Quick, easy, all planned, amazing food in 30 minutes. They're number one best-selling authors, and this book is being released today in hardcover, December 29th. So maybe you're done with all your gifts and your stocking stuffers, and this is something to start the new year with. Speedy Bosch. I like it a lot, and I really like these guys a lot. They are full of passion and full of fun and full of life. And now I want to bring on somebody who I also like a lot. Probably a lot more than these Bosch boys. And that's Gary DiMattei.
Aw, you say that to all the guests.
No, I don't. I just say that to you.
Happy merry ho, 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 Karen.
Yes, and merry happy ho, ho, ho.
It's released today. And if you celebrate the 12 days of Christmas, then you may go out and purchase this gift for someone on your list.
Yeah, if you haven't figured out your 12th gift yet.
Yes.
This could be it.
There was a lot of people, you know, well, there's 8 days and nights of Hanukkah. And there are also 12 days of Christmas. But we only celebrate one day of Christmas.
That's good. That's enough.
Yeah, but some people like celebrating all 12 days.
Yeah,
I read that on Victoria Moran's page.
That some people
she
like
celebrates
to celebrate.
12 days of Christmas.
Well, good for her.
Yeah,
Victoria.
Yeah, your buddy
keep
Victoria.
Keep the celebration going.
Keep it going. 12 days, Victoria Moran. She.
How about we celebrate 365 days
that,
and call it life?
That could be cool.
Let's celebrate life.
So many people don't
every day. Like wake up and say, "Oh, I'm here."
I'm here. Let's get a Speedy Bosch book and do some cooking.
And let's make the most of the day.
Yeah. And this book sounds really great. It sounds like they've got some awesome recipes.
They always have awesome recipes. But one of the things that I liked, and I mentioned this when I was talking to them, is the menus that they offer, which includes a number of their different Speedy recipes. They tell you how to prepare all of the recipes in the menu at once, which recipes to do first, which to do after, and which you do kind of in between while one dish is doing something you could be cutting and chopping.
That's very good.
And for you and me, we do this all the time. It's second nature, but for people that are just getting started, it may not be as obvious.
Right. They certainly do have passion, as you mentioned.
Oh, so much passion. I love it.
Yes, they clearly do.
They found it.
They found it.
Yeah.
They're in the zone with these books.
I think you introduced me to the Bosch team originally because you were watching those great Bosch TV videos.
Right. They do the overhead shots and make it all look so easy in this video.
They make it look easy, right.
And fun.
And fun. But it's a lot of work and it requires some investment.
Yes.
Of quality equipment and planning.
Yes.
And to do anything well, really, I think
requires
some of that involved.
A lot of work.
But that's where the passion comes in, because the passion fuels.
So many people are afraid of work, but you really can't be when you want to create. You have to really want to do the work. Yet, there are books like this one that I think, Amazing Food in 30 Minutes, I think you'll get some great results in a very short amount of time. It's not going to take you a long time to master some of these great dishes. I've looked through the book and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And I highly recommend it for your 12 days of Christmas. Whoever you want to get it for.
Well, a lot of people want...
Get it for yourself.
A lot of people want to make dishes quickly. We talk about it a lot. There have been a lot of books that come out making meals in 30 minutes. 30 minutes seems to be the standard time frame. They even talked about how originally this book was supposed to be making things in 20 minutes.
Right.
And that's really stretching it.
I think Rachel Ray started that 30-minute meal. She had a program on the Food Network long ago.
Mm.
Well, not that long ago, but I would say early 2000s. And now, of course, she's a big TV talk show host. But when she was working it on the Food Network, she had a program called 30-minute meals, I believe. And I think it's stuck, and a lot of people now use that 30-minute time as, okay, I can afford to spend 30 minutes making dinner.
Well, the tricks are a number of things, especially in Speedy Bosch and other books that have the 30-minute theme, is they use a lot of ready-made products, ready-made sauces and ready-made cheeses and plant meats and baking products that make things a lot faster.
Things that are already prepared that you can already pick up in the grocery store and you just have to add a few little things to.
Exactly.
And you've got yourself a meal.
Right. And that's fine.
So,
that's fine. That's not where my passion is.
No. And that's not where our passion is at all, together as a team. I mean, we've said this many times with pride. We don't have a microwave. That's a choice that we've made. It's a guilty pleasure when we go to one of your timeshares and they have a microwave when we actually use it. I always feel a little guilty now.
Using a microwave?
Yeah. But it's like when you're on vacation for us is using a microwave.
Well, Speedy Bosch uses a microwave in this book, and they didn't use one or recommend one in their previous books, and it definitely speeds things up.
A microwave definitely does speed stuff up.
And I don't even know if it's harmful or not. There's studies out there, nothing's really conclusive, but I just don't like microwaves. I don't like the way they cook.
Right, now how do you feel about air fryers? Have you ever used one? I've never used one. We don't have one here.
We don't have one. And I interviewed J.L. Fields with her book.
Right, I remember
that. Vegan Air Fryer.
Vegan Air Fryer.
I'm curious about it because it requires less energy than an oven. And we do a lot of our, quote, air frying, if you want to call it that, in a big oven.
In our convection oven, yeah.
But how many gadgets can you fit in a kitchen?
How many gadgets can you fit in a kitchen in New York City?
Exactly.
That's the question. And we, I think, are maxed out at this point.
We have enough. Gadgets.
Yes, but so, if somebody wants to send us an air fryer to try, we'll have you on the program. I'm kidding. We don't do that kind of thing.
So the gadgets that we don't have an air fryer, and we don't have an Instant Pot or a pressure cooker. Other than that, I think we do pretty well.
I think we do.
In terms of gadget. Anyway, I really...
I think we have plenty of gadgets.
We do have plenty of gadgets, but just wrapping up the Speedy Bosch cookbook, I love those guys and their passion, and it's really fun to speak with them. I'm so glad I was able to meet them in person the first time I interviewed them because they were in New York. And now we're grateful for Zoom allowing us to reach across the waters and speak to people far away.
That's right. They were in the UK, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Great interview, Karen.
So much passion.
And about, speaking of passion, there's a lot of discussion about passion going on now because of the holiday movies. And there's a movie out called Soul that some of you may have seen already.
Soul is so good.
Yeah, it's very good. The reviews are mixed. And if you haven't seen it, we're not going to give any of it away. But it's all about finding your passion. What would you say your passion is, Karen?
Well, I have a few.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to food, I can really get into the zen sometime of
cooking. They call it the zone in Seoul. They call it the zone.
The zone, and yeah. I call it the zen.
But when you go to that other place.
You go to a place where you're floating or you're streaming
everything
downhill.
Else basically, everything else disappears. The world disappears and you are in the zone.
Yeah. There are different activities that can do that. But typically it's food that I've made a lot, that I'm used to making. So I don't have to check instructions and measurements. I can just roll through it. For example.
No pun intended.
Corn tortillas.
You rolled right through those.
Maybe the first or second time I made them, I had to check the Bob's Red Mill organic masa harina bag to see how much water I needed to add to the masa harina. And just so you know, I use 2 cups of masa harina and I add a cup and a half of warm or hot water. The instructions say 1.5 to 2 cups, and I find that 2 cups is a disaster.
Yes, you've said that before.
And 1.5 cups works very nicely. I can just go into the zone and make the dough. I heat up the grill. I get out the tortilla press and the baking paper, and then I start making the balls.
The little round balls of dough.
And pressing them in the tortilla press. I put it on the grill, I set the timer for a minute, and then I make some more balls and press some, and I'm just like dancing as I go.
And you really enjoy this. This brings you joy.
I find it relaxing.
And it brings you joy. It brings you to another place.
Well, I know somebody in this family really likes them, so I'm happy to make them.
I wonder who that could be. But what I'm talking about and what the movie Soul talks about is, what is that thing you do that makes everything else disappear and you are filled with joy because it's you have found the thing that defines your soul?
Yeah, well, cooking can do that. The other thing that does that is when I'm singing.
Okay.
And I'm warmed up, and I know my music, and I'm just singing a song, and it's just feeling right.
So when you're up there on stage and you're performing, that's...
Oh, that's the zone, totally.
That's when the whole
because
world seems...
I won't go on stage unless I'm totally prepared.
Right. Now, we all know, I think, those of us that listen to this program, know that you won't do anything unless you're totally prepared. But that's not my question. The hard question is, what do you do? It's already a gimme that you're already prepared. It's the thing that you do that you're the most confident with yourself. Or confidence really has nothing to do with it. It's not even a question. It's when you step out, you know that the rest of the world is going to drop away and you are in the zone. What's that thing?
Yeah, well, those things I mentioned. And then one more thing is when people ask me about food.
Yes.
And then
that's kind of when
I'm given the freedom to talk about it and people are interested, because I bite my tongue a lot. I see plenty of opportunities to throw information in people's faces, but I've taught myself you don't do that unless people ask. But when they ask and they appear genuinely interested, then it flows for me. I'm in the zone. I'm sharing what I love. And I'm hoping that it brings them the joy that it brings me, or brings them that healthy feeling. I was just talking to someone, a friend of mine, who has recently gone vegan. It's been a journey for her, and she's been including plant foods more and more, and listening to a lot of the experts. She has the How Not to Die cookbook by Michael Greger, and she's been going through all of them. And the pandemic has enabled her to have even more time to cook. She said that she's connecting more with the food and enjoying being in the kitchen more, because it's a choice. It's something that's empowering her. She's making a positive choice for herself and her family. Some of the things that she's discovered about the food system are horrific.
Right.
And that can be very depressing.
Absolutely.
But when you make a choice to not buy into that, and just a little shift to buy the organic foods, have the cookware that isn't toxic, and put the time in to prepare the food for your family, she's finding joy in it.
And this is a person that works. I know who you're talking about. And this is a person that works.
Definitely.
And has the time now to transition her entire family to a plant-based lifestyle, vegan lifestyle. Yeah. Yes, it's quite extraordinary.
Well, what about you, Gary?
When you were talking about your friend who has transitioned to a vegan lifestyle, and the family has transitioned to a vegan lifestyle, and you were saying that they are connecting more with your food, I think one of the things that we do when we cook animals in the kitchen, being someone who has done both, is that we disconnect with our food. It's an automatic disconnect when you cook animals. And when you know that what you're cooking has not been harmed, you immediately embrace what you're doing.
Yeah, there's something really joyful about
it. And
that.
I call it making peace with my food. I say that a lot on this program, and I think clarifying that would be, when you go plant-based, before you're plant-based or before you're vegan, you are disconnecting with flesh that you are preparing. It's a disconnect.
That's genius.
You have to. Otherwise, we would not survive the pain and the suffering that we know has gone into bringing this piece of once living flesh to the grocery store. So you have to disconnect. You have to pretend it's something else.
So there's this lightness of being
when you go vegan and start cooking again, especially if you love cooking.
When you don't have to shove that truth down into the darkness.
That's right. Truth can be a very interesting topic for a lot of filmmakers. And another film going around this holiday season is Wonder Woman. I'm not going to talk
about Wonder Woman 1984.
Right. I'm not going to touch on what's going on in the film, but one of the subjects is all about truth. And how it will catch up with you if you aren't true to yourself. And I see that a lot with people who aren't honest with the fact that what they're eating, if people who eat flesh, they aren't honest with themselves about what they're eating. They're so disconnected with it and they're so defiant about it. There's a lot of us that are defiant about a lot of things, but I'm talking specifically now about people who know that there is this disconnect when you're preparing dishes that are animals. It catches up with them. It catches up with them in their health. It catches up with them in longevity and lifestyle and all of those things. So, but this particular film, this Wonder Woman 1984, talks a lot about that and talks a lot about wishes. Making wishes.
Yeah, so we're not going to talk about the story, which some people might say is trivial and silly, and other people might say is enjoyable. It's a superhero, fictional, silly thing.
We're not expecting anything profound,
but...
I have news for everyone who watches these types of movies. They're all superficial, and they're all funny. It's just how you package them.
Yes, but there were... some very serious undercurrents of messages, if you were open to receiving them.
Right. There were.
About many things.
Right. About wishes.
About wishes. We just got through the holiday period. People get gifts. Maybe they didn't get all the gifts that they usually get because of the pandemic. I don't know. But did you wish for anything? Did you get what you wished for? Did you get what you wished for and you were happy about it? Did you get what you wished for and maybe realize it wasn't what you were wanting?
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
There's a lot of that. So we like to say careful what you wish for.
And there's a great line in the movie Soul that has something to do with that. And again, I'm not going to give it away. It has to do with wishing for something for so long and then finally getting it and then afterwards saying to yourself, I thought it was going to be so much more than just that.
Exactly.
Which is the determining factor on really discovering your soul, really discovering what you were put on this earth to do. You may have a passion. You may have something that you're passionate about doing. But I think what the movie Soul explores is what makes up your soul. What's that thing that you do? It requires thought. That movie requires some thought and requires you to be open to it. As does, I think, and it's a much less serious subject, Wonder Woman 1984, but as does Wonder Woman, you really have to watch this film with an open mind, as you said. And
yeah, there's this part of me that says, as we're accepting the fantasy in front of us, I'll always go through these types of films and say, now that doesn't make sense. And it's a silly thing because none of it makes sense. It's all fantasy, but... somehow I find there are some things that aren't as coherent in the fantasy that I'm accepting. As I'm suspending my disbelief, there are just some things that just don't fit into that picture. And there were a few of those.
But you have to understand, Patty Jenkins is an incredible filmmaker. I think on the surface, you can't judge the film on what's going on the surface. You have to actually listen to what's being said. And I think that goes a lot. Of course, I'm not an expert. And I'm not a critic. As a matter of fact, I don't like critics. And I know a lot of people out there don't give things a chance after they hear or see the buzz on social media that says, oh, this is the worst movie ever made. I can't believe that, you know, this is happening. Why are they doing this? I say ignore all of those things if you're reading a lot of negative stuff and watch them both with an open mind. There's a lot of great films going on out there. There are two films that I'm sure you're going to touch on. And they both have messages.
When it comes to wishes, I hope people got what they wish for this holiday season. And I hope that your wishes bring you joy. I want to say that Gary got one of his Christmas wishes.
I did. Pizza.
Remember, he said he wanted pizza and beer for Christmas, and
I got
he
it.
Got it.
Yes, I did. We had a great pizza party. Christmas
it was
Eve.
You and me. So I made the dough. I made a gluten-free dough, and I made an einkorn wheat flour dough. Gary wanted the wheat flour dough. I kind of
yeah. When I say I wanted pizza, I meant I wanted pizza.
Wheat pizza.
Wheat pizza yeah. And wheat beer.
Come on, my pizza dough is pretty awesome.
Your pizza dough is the best. Your gluten-free pizza
my
dough?
My gluten-free pizza dough.
It's the best.
And then I made the mozzarella cheese, and we have that recipe too, and we haven't made it for a while. The one that's you'll be buffaloed by this yeah. mozzarella cheese.
It's the best version of that cheese that I think we've made.
Yes, and I'll tell you why. Because this particular mozzarella cheese recipe requires plant yogurt. And we always bought an unsweetened plant yogurt to make this cheese. And this time we used my cashew yogurt
of
that
course.
I made at home. And it made the cheese
That's
so much better.
That's what made the difference. Your homemade cashew yogurt.
Yeah.
And we cooked it a little longer. We yeah. cooked the cheese a little longer. It was great. Yeah,
it was
I did
great.
Get my wish.
And then
I
Gary
made
the
sauce. I made the sauce.
Because he's Italian and he works magic with a wooden spoon.
I do. You have to have a wooden spoon to make this sauce. Well, I mean, you can make it without it, but I don't recommend it.
And then I made the cucciadati.
Yes, this cookie is amazing. And it's gluten-free.
It's gluten-free. So we got the recipe from Gary's family. I mentioned it last week. I made it last year. Made up the recipe last year. And then I made the recipe this year.
Fantastic. It was
really good.
It was great.
I think it was better this year.
Yes. And then we had a lovely pasta on Sunday. That was delicious.
That was delicious. You know, we don't eat a lot of pasta. We do eat some. But this was a celebratory luxury dish.
Yeah.
Tell us, what did you put in that pasta, Gary?
You know, it was a primavera of sorts. Onions, broccoli, carrots, bell peppers, and olives.
Oh, I love olives in pasta.
And we used the left, what was remaining of the sauce, of the pizza sauce.
I have to do a shout out for Go Organic NYC.
Yeah,
okay?
Go Organic.
Brian Lane, Go Organic NYC. So we get our weekly produce orders from them. And this week, there was a surprise of broccoli that we didn't order.
Yeah, they give us a gift of 3 broccoli trees.
It was a beautiful gift.
It was. It was 3. I was just so happy about getting broccoli. I saw it and I went, wait, we didn't order this. Aw, they gave us a little gift. It was really lovely.
Yeah.
And you thanked them. You gave them a nice thank you. And
yes.
And
it's important when you're feeling gratitude for good service
yeah.
to let those people know.
So we're talking about wishes, and what's coming up isn't necessarily a holiday about wishes. It's a holiday about resolutions.
And I think resolution stems from wishes because you're
right.
really wanting something.
Right.
But then you have to make a commitment to make it happen.
Right. So what about resolutions? How do you feel about resolutions?
Well.
Or wishes?
Yeah, I think it's important to commit to things that you want.
Right.
You talked about social media before and people complaining about things. It's so easy to complain. It's not easy to commit and get something done, which is why we're sensitive about people who are complaining about films, restaurants,
right.
works of art. Because rather than complain, why don't you get to work and do something?
Right. I read something like that or heard something like that from a friend of yours who you've interviewed on this program, John Joseph, who had a really good point to make. A lot of people, again, were complaining about Wonder Woman. And he basically said, and of course, I'm not going to use John's...
He uses special words.
Special
when he
language,
talks.
Because that is exclusively John's copyright.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go there. But the point that John was trying to make, I agree with. And that is, if you're going to complain, you have no business complaining unless you're going out there to do the work yourself.
Yeah.
Go out there and make something instead of complaining.
So as far as resolutions are concerned, I make them all the time, not just on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I think we both made a resolution that we've stuck to for the last almost 9 months now. When the theaters closed, we said we were going to every day, keep in shape by singing, by exercising, by continuing to create. And we've stuck to that.
Yes.
So congratulations.
Congratulations. Yay.
And we'll keep it up, I'm sure, until we can get back into the theaters and then beyond. And again, it's that discussion that you have about work. It's hard work and you just have to do it. So the resolution for me would be continue to do the hard work. Continue to do what's difficult because the benefits are great.
So if you're thinking about making resolutions, awesome. I think you should do what it is that is gnawing away at you.
But the truth is, it's going to be difficult.
It's going to be difficult.
Especially if you want to do something that you've been wanting to do for a long time. It's going to be very, very difficult.
So don't look for instant results. Appreciate the small successes.
Yes.
We do these workouts. I do a few different yoga routines and when all of a sudden something's a little easier, I'm still not doing it the way I want to, but I see progress. That's a celebration.
Yes. And you may find that it brings you into the zone. You may find that you go to that place that everything else drops away and you discover, you make the connection that this is something that is bigger than you can even discuss.
Well, we need to wrap this up. So as we do, I'm just going to make a little wish because we were talking about wishes.
Okay.
And I wish that 2021 is the year of great transformation. We've all been in our cocoons and we're going to come out better than ever.
Yes, this could be a renaissance.
I hope so.
Could be another age of enlightenment.
That's my wish. And I hope it brings more vegans.
I think that's your true passion.
Making vegans.
I think that's what it is.
Everybody, thank you for joining us today, for joining us all year long.
Thank you for joining us in 2020.
This very interesting
thank you,
year.
PRN. Happy New Year to PRN.
Happy New Year, PRN. Thank you.
Thank you. And Happy New Year, Karen.
Happy New Year, Gary. Everybody, have a delicious week. Thank you.